Hello and welcome to the Viral History Podcast, the place where you can get your history fix in audio form. Myself and Gemma Chandler, as always. This week, we have some very special guests. More about that in a few moments' time. If you want to get in touch, it's really easy to do so. Twitter is @viral_history. Instagram is quite simply @viralhistory. Facebook and YouTube, all you're looking for is Viral History. And if you're old-fashioned like us, info@viral-history.com. This week, our special guests are, I'm tremendously excited to say, Gemma, Graham and Ali from Rex Factor. Now, those of you who don't know what Rex Factor is, it's a totally unique take on, I suppose, famous historical figures, influential historical figures rated on a points and grading system. Ali, Graham, welcome to the Viral History Podcast.
Hello.
Hello, thank you.
I was just thinking, no offence, Joe, but we should have got Ali to do the intro.
Yeah,
this week.
Yeah. Yours was very good, though.
Well, very excitingly, in honour of our guests, we are going to be giving away one of the famous Rex Factor mugs later on, which is has become rather like, I suppose, a prized chalice of the medieval era. Graham, for those people who don't know, fill us in on the Rex Factor story.
So Ali and I went to the same sort of graduate scheme together, and we had lots of lunchtimes in the sun in the park chatting about various bits and bobs, and we discovered that we both had shared interest in history. And at some point, for whatever reason, we got into a discussion about which monarch was best, and Ali really likes Edward the First, I really like Henry the Eighth, and I don't know what prompted me to do this, but I sort of googled like all monarchs in English history and just thought, I wonder if there are interesting ones. And I looked at the Saxons and thought, oh, there are lots of interesting ones. I thought it'd be really fun to do what we've done, just a kind of a fun podcast of people chatting to each other, but doing an episode on every monarch. For some reason, that sort of struck me as quite amusing.
And it was the right time for podcasts. Well, it was about 10 years ago when we were also talking about podcasts that we liked, and there were ones that were really, really heavy, but were great. Like, in our time, they were really good and really well researched, all there for kids. And there wasn't anything that was just much more accessible. There is now. You know, there's loads of great podcasts out there now. So we thought we'd have a stab at it. So, You had a Mac that did the job on a little microphone, and off we went. We were just set up in the first one was in my living room, wasn't it?
It was in your living room, and I think the sound quality in the early episodes was really bad, partly because Ali was on his couch literally lying down, nowhere near the microphone.
I've kept up the level of professionalism throughout. Actually, this is the first time we've ever recorded in a studio.
Yeah, nearly 9 years podcasting, we're actually finally in a studio.
You've made it. Made it out of the shed.
But it's been a huge success, and now we're talking an animated show, live shows, that kind of thing. Ali, are you surprised that people have gone for it in the way that they have?
I always say this when someone asks that. I'm not entirely sure what I bring to the table here. I know very well what Graham does, so I guess they're surprised that it's worked with us doing it. I really like the format. I think the format's great. I feel like it's a hobby that's got out of hand. We were doing it, and then all of a sudden people are saying, do you want to do a live show? Okay, sure, people would turn up. And they did. And it's great. I'm just loving it. I'm just sort of hanging on by my what's the expression? By my fingernails to Graham's coattails. I don't know. Fingernails, tails, all rhymes.
Clinging on to whatever's in front of you.
Yeah.
You mentioned Edward the First, of course. Ali's favourite king. One of my favourite episodes. And there's, throughout the whole of the first series, it's a bit like Game of Thrones. You know something's about to happen. What's about to happen is the Edward the First episode is on the way. And Ali, you can feel you getting more and more frustrated as the Saxons won't all just die. Yeah, we can't even get to the Normans yet. Did you find yourself reevaluating what you felt about Edward the First? Because let's face it, he's certainly an interesting king and very militaristic and exciting in that sense, but not necessarily a particularly good egg.
Good point. I had a very serious word with myself and said, you're absolutely right, he is the best king. And so all I did was affirm what I already knew. Spoiler alert, the best king, from our original conversation that we had that started this, Henry VIII versus Edward I in Bristol, with our live show, that was what we did, Henry versus Edward.
I just listened to that episode.
Yeah, I think the crowd just got confused about which colour was which and voted for the wrong.
That's right.
As a sense of how much Ali can't be swayed on Edward I, not only did we have the English episode, but then when we did our second series was on Scottish monarchs, and Edward I, Hammer of the Scots, appears quite a number of times doing some pretty bad things to the Scots. And he's still amazing. And even watching Braveheart, that actually reinforces for Ali just how great Edward is.
Definitely. He's brilliant. I mean, I can't understand why people say he's the bad guy in that film. I feel like it just doesn't compute.
It's his castles that you particularly love, isn't it?
Yeah, I do love those. I mean, World Heritage Site castles. Where do I start? I mean, if you want a holiday, I can't think of... You can't go much far wrong than a lovely holiday in North Wales.
Brilliant.
Oh, and here's five castles that are also absolutely at the top of their game.
And here's Ali hanging around every single time.
You can see me trying to stay in when they shut the doors so I can sleep in the same room.
Well, that's the thing, though, isn't it, I suppose? You look at Carnarvon Castle, they say, yes, it's a tool of oppression. It's a bit like the Death Star is to the Rebel Alliance. But you sort of look at it, you think, oh, but it's pretty, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's by the sea, it's lovely.
Yeah, great analogy, though, of the Death Star. I love that, yeah. Because I look at that and think, it's a real shame that that's blown up, because when they're doing that final run through it, we don't get enough time in there. It looks brilliant.
Why would you ever leave that air vent in there? I mean, if you haven't seen Star Wars, spoiler alert, I must say. Let's talk about obviously series two. So series one was English monarchs, series two Scottish monarchs. Why did you choose to go north of the border?
Well, I suppose we considered staying in England and doing all the Queen and Prince consorts that we'd found really interesting whilst doing the series. But I think having gone all the way through from beginning to end of English history, I thought, well, I can't quite face doing it all again. And I didn't really know very much about the Scottish stuff, other than every now and again a battle between England and Scotland. I just didn't really know it. And it had the same thing, this long, long list of kings going really far back. And I just thought it'd be really interesting to see that history, get it from another perspective as well. I think in some ways, partly because I researched it better than when we started with the English series, I feel I actually know English history a bit better now, so having studied the Scottish monarchs, it really fills in a lot of what's going on and why things are happening.
Does it make you sympathise a little bit with the Scots? Because I suppose certainly a distance...
Certainly not for Ali.
Yes. A distance of 500, 600 years, it's all... I suppose it's all a bit Game of Thronesy, and it's all quite fun of it's all sort of fun and games, isn't it? You kind of you laugh about it. You go, "Oh, Edward the First firing people over castle walls with his trebuchet. What's he like?" Kind of thing. But does it make you think, oh, actually, the English were kind of swines?
Yeah, there's quite a long list of not particularly laudable English expeditions to Scotland that perhaps, you know, maybe on reflection, we might have done nicer things.
Have you guys watched the Netflix Chris Pine Outlaw King?
We have now, yeah. It came out while we were on the live tour, so everyone kept asking us if we'd seen it. I was like, no, we can't, because they released it at completely the wrong time.
Well, we had planned to, because we thought, oh, when we're in a hotel room, that's a lovely evening. We'll just sit there, you know, watch Game of Thrones, Burton early. But every night, we ended up... meeting loads of Rex Factor fans, and it was really good fun. So never actually got back to the bedroom in time to do anything other than go to sleep. So we ended up having to watch it about 3 weeks later. It was really well cast, though. I thought the... apart from Edward II. Hang on. Who did I mean?
Edward I. You quite liked him, though, in the end.
I did.
The same guy in as Game of Thrones. Stannis Baratheon.
But... I thought he was great as Robert the Bruce. I was concerned at the start, but yeah, it was really gritty.
It was.
Is now an apposite time to ask what happens on a Rex Factor tour? I know what happens on the Rex Factor tour stays on tour, but you said obviously you've met loads of fans. You guys are you in a tour bus? What's the vibe?
It is a 2013 Greyer Kia Ceed Estate.
Black Pretty sure that's what the Stones did America.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
child
like
seat
that.
In the back.
Yeah, always.
Sometimes used.
It was
joined us. For
yeah,
parts
he did.
Of the
oh,
tour.
It was. Yeah, it was. It, there was one. We did a tour diary, so you can find out pretty much exactly what went on, and there was a lot of coffee stops.
Okay.
couple of occasions in the diary have to pull over so I can go to the loo because there's quite long journeys.
I mean, really giving us stuff. All the details.
Yeah. Oh no, actually, there is one occasion when I legitimately had to visit a sex shop.
Okay.
So I'll just leave that hanging. You can find out what happened there. But no, what else? We did get. There was a recording where we were quite drunk.
You certainly were. That was after an Oxford show.
Oxford.
I think the thing with the live tour, which I hadn't really appreciated, it's quite, you'd assume that you've got loads of time to do lots of things, but actually, by the time you've driven from one place to another place, set up the sound and all that sort of stuff, you don't actually really have much time to do anything. So you're mainly sat in the car or kind of sat on stage waiting for a sound guy to figure out how to connect your laptop to the mixing desk.
God, that was tense at times, wasn't it?
It was quite tense.
Really didn't think we were going to pull it off on some occasions.
We must have some days out. So in Bristol, we had a good time. We went to, SS Great Britain, Brunel's great ship, and this brilliant museum there. In Manchester, we went to the Imperial War Museum North.
Yeah. We actually really cool. Got split up there, didn't we? Because I was I read every single word, I think, on those panels. I loved it.
Do you remember really any good. Of it?
Well,
that's not the point.
It was more of a feeling. It was an
atmosphere.
It was very, very powerful, though, wasn't it?
No, it was.
Should we talk about the new series? Mm. So you're going to be doing consorts and prince consorts. You've got round to it. Why do you feel ready to revisit English history again?
I think partly it took us so long doing the Scots that it's actually now been quite a few years since we did the English ones. I think we've just always been really interested in them. When doing the English series, you discover characters like Eleanor of Aquitaine, who is queen consort to Henry II. Obviously, Henry VIII with his six wives. There's so many amazing figures that I think actually now, the last few years, I think it would have been quite difficult to have done it maybe 5 years ago, but there have been so many more books and biographies written. I think there's much more focus now on these sort of powerful women in history who maybe got neglected for quite a long time. So I think there's a lot of interest amongst listeners. I think we're interested in it, and there's now a lot of books available there. So I think it should be a really good one, I think.
And you are doing it right up to Prince Philip.
We are.
Right?
It's from Elswith, who is Alfred the Great's wife, to Prince Philip, who is obviously the current consort. So with the Queen, last time we said that she wouldn't be eligible because she was still queening. And thus,
which makes you just Rexy and
by
nature.
Because she is the queen. Yeah. So I don't know whether we'll do the same for Philip or if maybe it's not quite as...
Might not be an issue.
Well.
Well.
Yeah, I need to see how quickly we get through the series.
They thought I should do an evil cackle after that, shouldn't I?
I don't know, though. I think they'll probably survive us all.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Indestructible,
like
it seems. You survived a car crash
recently. Did somehow. I don't know.
I'm going to lay low.
I feel a bit uncomfortable.
I knew that's how this podcast would end.
Someone getting arrested.
That was always what was going to get us. It's going to be quite nice to revisit some old friends, isn't it? Because there's certainly an episode that I remember very, very vividly, maybe episode 7 or 8 of the first series. One of the Saxon kings who, and I think it's Dunstan who goes Dunstan.
That's the friend we're all looking forward to, right, Ali?
Dunstan, who seemed to be around for about 3 centuries. Just couldn't shake him. And he was at the king's coronation, couldn't find the king, who was romping in bed with a mother and daughter.
Edwig. This one, yeah.
So it's going to be nice to revisit those kind of characters, and presumably the mother or daughter. I can't remember who
the
was
daughter.
Who, the daughter.
The daughter. Yes. Yeah, so we'll see whether it all was as it seemed or if Dunstan was just spreading nasty rumours.
I really want to ask ask what you mean by that, but I can't. That'd be like research. I can't. He keeps putting these throwing things out.
You can't bring facts to the podcast. It would just ruin everything.
He keeps sort of teasing me. And can't ask you.
Well,
you've
sort of done research because you read the Con Iggulden Dunstan book.
Yes.
So historical fiction, but all about Dunstan. So we got Ali to do an audiobook.
Which I thought
I'd
hate. But it's brilliant.
Oh, really?
I can really recommend it. Yeah, I mean, he still comes across as an awful, awful man. But, you know, it's great, great story. It was really good.
Dunstan is an archbishop and a monk who's present for 5 or 6 monarchs, isn't he? He's quite an important figure, certainly in Saxon England. And Ali, you developed a pathological hatred for him.
Yeah, I'm interested to see whether I'll hate him as much this time around, because I think at the time it was a bit like Victoria. He just wouldn't go away.
Yeah. She wouldn't die.
Yes, and both of them were incredibly dull. Like,
Fun sponge, you called him on the live tour, didn't you?
Yeah, well, that's certainly how I feel. And I think if it was something like Charles I second hung around a bit when he was, we had him in the William episode. William III?
Oh, he kept appearing. We had quotes from Charles in quite a few episodes.
Yeah. And that was fine.
Pop up, but, say something witty, and then
back he goes, put him back in the Charles box. And whereas Dunson is just sitting on the table telling you all off, and oh, go away.
So as opposed to the king who brought back partying, the archbishop who put partying away.
He's my arch enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Who else didn't I like?
Well, as you said, Victoria, you definitely got a bit fed up with.
Well, I don't think there was anyone I disliked as much as him.
No, he was your bête noire.
Actually,
particularly when he reappeared in the Scottish series.
Yeah.
And then I did a little jingle for you.
Oh, that was brilliant. Yeah. Graham bought me once. He was looking after my cat when I was away. And I got a text from him saying Happy St. Dunstan's Day, which was, you know, gratefully received. But when I got home, the cat was fine. He did a great job. But I noticed that about 2 weeks later, I noticed there was this little... toy monk just sitting on my bookcase. I had no idea where it came from, and I asked my partner, "Where did you bring that? What is this?" She didn't know, and we just sort of we were quite happy to let this mystery monk exist. And it was the following year when he said Happy St. Dunstan's Day again. It was a present from you.
Yeah,
you'd crept Dunstan into my own home
and thought, "Oh, Ali will notice this in a week or two," but no, a year later.
Yeah.
That's a great deal of patience to show for I suppose. It's not torture, is it? Because it's slightly too subtle. But so just wait. One day soon, I will get that text when he's realised.
Notice.
Graham, you'll have realised, has infinite patience.
Yeah.
So he's very good at that.
Is there anyone, Henry VIII aside and Edward I aside, people who, when you first came to this and you had preconceptions of, is there anyone that you've particularly found since that you've... I mean, Ali, you hated Dunstan, but is there anyone that you loved and you thought, wow, that's a character that I didn't know much about, or I was aware of and not really aware of who they were as a person, and I've totally reevaluated them?
William the Fourth for me. Third for me. Do I mean that?
The penguin or the pineapple?
Pineapple head.
Both. Which one's the penguin?
William the Third is the penguin.
That's who I liked.
And William and Mary.
William and Mary and Pineapple Head, yes.
William the Fourth that stole the navy and
went on the road. Him. Yeah,
he's the one who just wanted to outlive all his brothers, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then to live long enough that Victoria would reach a majority so that she wouldn't be enthralled
brilliant.
To keep her and her mother.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, stole a navy. You can't get any better. You can't make it up.
Yeah, that's the definition of a rascal.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, what's he done? Oh, stole the navy. Can you imagine anyone going out now with a capital ship like an aircraft carrier and just disappearing off into the North Atlantic? That's outrageous.
Imagine the fuss that got made once when William landed a helicopter to go and see Middleton one time.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine it took the entire Air Force.
Yeah, just went on a jolly with Kate.
Graham, is there anyone that you've kind of reevaluated throughout your time doing Rex Factor?
I really enjoyed the Saxons, actually, which is a period that Ali got fed up with because of Dunstan. And indeed, the monarch that I'd probably pick out was Alfred the Great, that Ali initially didn't have any problem with at all, but gradually decided that he was just muddy and bad and too pious.
I didn't like him at the start. I liked him at the start.
You were perfectly fine with him at the start. But at some point, you suddenly were like, oh, no, Alfred's bad. Alfred's muddy.
I think it's because I then watched...
Last Kingdom?
Yeah. I didn't like him at that at all. So maybe that coloured my judgment a bit.
But this was the idea of Rex Factor, was to highlight those lesser known monarchs, wasn't it? So
and to go, I never studied the Saxons at school.
Yeah.
So I think other than doing the Battle of Maldon, which is a battle in 991, and I grew up in Maldon and Ali's Essex as well, so we both went to the 1,000-year reenactment thing when we were kids, but we didn't know each other, but we were both there. Other than that, I never did the Saxons, so actually doing Rex Factor, I was like, wow, they're really, really interesting. And this is when the country gets formed, and you have this really impressive run of kings that just are all really, really good.
And there's some great material, because there's the fact, my favourite fact, the amount of Rex Factor, the Harold Bluetooth fact.
Oh, that's amazing.
That is so great,
mega.
Yeah, so this is a Viking ruler, Harold Bluetooth, and Bluetooth technology is named after him because they were trying to, they got the technology, which is about different things speaking to each other in different ways, and they thought, well, how are Bluetooth brought together the Danish? Is it Danish?
It's a Danish company, isn't it?
Yeah, brought together all the different Danish sort of tribes to make them one nation. So they just thought, well, we'll call it Bluetooth and see if we can think of something better. And they never actually did, so it's Bluetooth after him.
Sort of runic symbol.
Yeah, and the Bluetooth symbol is actually his initials in runes.
That is just
that's
great,
the bit
isn't
where
it?
You get people, where you tell people that, and you say, you know that little symbol on your phone? Yeah, that's his name in runes. Yeah. That's amazing.
I love it whenever those come up in the research, and I think Ali's going to love this one. I'm going to keep this one there.
Yeah, it's so good. And before that, actually, Graham said, there is a fact in this that you're going to love.
Yeah.
But when you see something so modern and it has, you know, there's a reference point to 1,000 years ago, it's rather exciting.
It's really cool.
But the Saxons, yes, I definitely thought that they were ones that came up better, although I was getting quite bored of them by the end. I definitely thought of them as sort of just people that weren't as good as the Normans and got beaten really easily, and that was it. But, you know, but to discover that they were a really rich kingdom that the Normans wanted rather than just sort of expanding, you know. It was amazing fun. Athelstan, he came out
and you know, he almost didn't get the Rax Factor because you said, and I quote, I've never heard of him.
It's a good reason. I stick by it.
We should talk about your animated show.
It
was amazing.
Thank you.
Have you got any plans to do a second
episode? We're sort of talking with, so we did we crowdfunded, we were working with also a Chelmsford-based company, Tin Mouse Animation, who approached us, and they were also Rex Factor fans and just said they want to do something a bit more creative. So we decided to put the podcast into animated form. And so we did this sort of nearly 20-minute animation about Richard III. So we reviewed him as we normally do, but it's all on stage and lots of visual jokes. So, yeah, we're really, really pleased with how it went. We had a premiere at the Richard III Visitor Centre in Leicester, which was a really great place.
Great
to
place,
have it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're not sure about what we're doing next. We're sort of having a look. I think we're going to be actually in the visitor centre. They're actually going to use it as sort of an educational aid when lots of school kids come to visit.
Oh,
so
wow.
They're actually going to show them the video and then they're going to do a little exercise.
Did they have the Rex Factor or not? Something like that.
So we're sort of thinking whether we want to do the same sort of thing again, because initially we did it something that we'd enjoy and that we thought the listeners would like. But we think, do we do that again, or maybe we do something a bit more educational and sort of aim that sort of market, so maybe something slightly shorter aimed at the curriculum or that sort of thing. So I think we'll see how it goes with the Richard III one, and then we'll maybe look to do something in that.
I think there's an appetite there for it. It's just working out exactly how we can do it for the best money, because we don't know each time go to people and say, can I have some money, please?
Yeah.
You know, it'd be a tricky.
We've had quite a few sort of teachers and people say that they've used it in class and shown it. It's a useful way of getting people to engage with history.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
in Texas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what it says about me, but I genuinely learned more about British history listening to Rex Factor than I did in 3 years studying history at university. So there you go. If you're thinking about studying history at university, save your money and listen to Rex Factor. The new series is on its way. Where can we find out about it if we want to know more and people are looking forward to it?
So you can find the Rex Factor podcast on iTunes, or we're on Spotify now.
Are we?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Stitcher.
That's brilliant.
It's one of those, we did that after the second series. So it's been so long, we haven't yet had an episode where I can tell the audience and Ali we're now on Spotify.
That's brilliant.
Stitcher, all that sort of stuff. Our website is rexfactor.podbean.com, so we're also available there. And we've got a blog at rexfactor.wordpress.com where we will post things on there.
We're sticking out the live episodes at the moment, though, so you can. They're still on coming out, aren't they? One a week, pretty much.
Yeah.
And then after that, early March,
consorts.
Third series. Off we go.
Fantastic. Can't wait for it. It's such a pleasure. Graham and Ali, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
This week's prize is a Rex Factor mug and a Rex Factor t-shirt as modelled by Graham. Gemma, how much would you want that in your life?
I mean, there are no words. Oh, there's more on the back.
More t-shirt.
Oh my gosh.
It's
quite something.
It really is one of the most extraordinarily desirable pairs of items I can possibly imagine. All you've got to do to enter is leave us a review on your podcast app of choice, and we will choose our favourite. Gemma, what sort of reviews go down best?
5-star ones.
Absolutely. 5-star reviews will be looked on with great favour. Right, now it's time for the idiom. I've been forced to rename it the ill-researched idiom. after this is what you don't need. Critique from within your own camp. And Paul, who runs Viral History, pointed out to me that a previous idiom was wrong. So I'm now just going to say, I don't know if these are right, but I like them. So,
I like them. I like that you like them.
Have you guys heard the term to butter someone up?
Am I speaking? I mean, I don't know why.
Yes. I thought you were so stunned by the idiom.
This is really happening. You're really here.
Graham, can you? Am I asleep? No, I'm not asleep. Okay. I didn't realise whether this was on if I was allowed to speak. Yeah. That's what I meant.
They're like horror.
Have I heard? Sorry?
To butter someone up.
I have.
Have you ever wondered where it comes from?
I'm a little bit worried about where it comes from.
Yeah, I'm wary to ask.
It's a family show.
It's not as salacious as you might think, Gemma. Apparently, this was a customary religious act in ancient India. Nice and non-specific, as with all my idioms, just ancient India. The devout would throw butter balls at the statues of their gods to seek favour and forgiveness.
I like that.
So there you go. If you ever need some dinner party fodder, there you go. Butter people.
I wonder if they wanted the butter thrown. I'd rather have like dough balls thrown at me.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, Haribo.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice Haribo tangfastic.
Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't quite have the same ring to it as.
Oh, very good. No? They've got little rings in them.
Yes, I intentionally said that.
Yeah. Right. A bit of egg on my face there. They do eggs as well.
If anybody from Haribo is listening and would like to sponsor both Rex Factor and the Viral History podcast, we are open to being paid in tangfastics. Thank you very much to Graham and Ali from Rex Factor. It's been a huge pleasure.
you guys didn't enjoy it?
I mean, I wish I could say the same. But
they are quite simply lost for words, as are we. If you want to get in touch, as always, it's Twitter at @viral_history, Instagram at @viral_history, Facebook and YouTube is quite simply Viral History. And if you want to drop us an email, info@viral-history.com. Gemma, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'm Joe Forrest. You've been listening to the Viral History podcast. See you next time.